Corinthians chapter 5. Got a few other places I'll be going to in just a minute, but kind of a little topic came up there. We got talking about this one day in Sunday school class, and I thought, well, this is good to talk about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Oh, you know what? If you go to 1 Corinthians when it says 2 Corinthians, it just don't pan out. The Bible says there, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight and our fellowship time that we have together. And Lord, we just thank you that we can meet, and I pray for encouragement. Lord, encourage our hearts as we look to your word tonight. As always, Lord, we know you work in mysterious ways, and maybe somebody may be here that's not saved, Lord, and we pray for their salvation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ. There's some other passages in the Bible and that kind of would go along with this that we could look at pretty closely. I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 14 is a good one. Verse 10 in Romans chapter 14, it says, "But why," listen to this carefully, "but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says there in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so when we think about, we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ, and you know, anytime you read anything, really, I mean, they taught me this, I think, in the fourth or fifth grade. When you read a book, you know, what you look at the who, what, when, where. You always get those things down. Well, that's a good thing to do with the Bible. You know, who's talking, who are they talking to, the what of it, the when of it, the where of it, and those things. So before we go any farther, you know, we have to look of the who of the text. And so we see the Apostle Paul's writing when we look in 1 and 2 Corinthians, and he's writing to the church at Corinth. So we know that the who that he's writing to is believers. As a matter of fact, he said, "We must all appear," like we were singing a while ago, "when we all get to heaven." Okay? Now, if there's a whole church full of people, and there could be a whole bunch of people here, and people are saved, and there may be people that are lost. Well, listen, a lost person, they may sing it, but they can't really sing "when we all get to heaven" unless they plan on getting saved, somewhere along the way. So when we all get to heaven, we may not all be going to heaven. If we're not all saved, we won't be. But all the saved people can sing that song, "when we all get to heaven," we. So when Paul said, that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's talking about believers. He counted himself in the group. He's not counting himself, the Apostle Paul, counting himself in the group of lost people. He said, us believers, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Were there lost people that heard him preach? Sure, probably were. Didn't apply to them. They could be listening to him, but it didn't apply because they weren't saved. And they won't stand before that judgment seat of Christ that we're talking about tonight. They'll stand at the great white throne judgment. We'll get down to that here in just a second. And so, you know, when we talk about the church, the true church, anytime the church is not the church membership role. It's not the whole church member. It's the body. The true church is making up the body of Christ. The saved people, the really saved people. That is the true church. It's not the profession. It's the possession that's going to make a difference in reality. So, all churches Probably, I mean, any church of any size probably has people on the church rolls that are not saved. They made a false profession. We can't, when he talked about judging, I'm not going to go that far into that, but, well, I probably will, but when we talk about judging, it's talking about judging motives. We can't judge somebody's heart. We may have an idea, but we can't judge their heart. And so we're not to do that. We're not to judge that. And so we can't tell if somebody's saved by on the outside. I mean, we might have an idea by their works, their fruits, or lack thereof, but we still can't judge them. So there's people, if somebody says that they're saved, you know, they made a profession, you know, we baptize them, they join the church. There's tons of, we looked in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is, you know, people that did many wonderful works. But he said, Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. You weren't saved to start with. They just did those works in the flesh, and so it didn't amount to anything. But anyway, so we're talking about church members, the body of Christ, the we, as I said, Paul included his own self in that. And then in Revelation chapter 20, I'm not going to go there, but it's at the end of the millennial period, there's the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, it's a different judgment. Actually, it's a different word. It's a different word for judgment that's used in that case right there. The great white throne judgment, that's the judgment of the lost. And before we go any farther there, there will be no lost people at the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be no saved people at the great white throne judgment. Amen. It's two different, it's two different things and for two different purposes all the way around. At the judgment seat of Christ in our text, it has to do with our response, believers, our response to the love of God, the love of God that's revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Our works or not, that we allowed God to do through us, that's what's really standing the test of time. There's going to be, and I'll show you in a minute about the wood, hay, stubble, and the gold, silver, precious stones. But at the great white throne issue, it's not really about the individual things that you did or didn't do, even though sin is being judged there. The issue is the rejection of Jesus Christ and the rejection of that same love that God had showed. When those people stand before the great white throne judgment, it's because they rejected Jesus Christ, basically. Well, they did a lot of sins. Of course, they were sinners. That's what sinners do. Of course they did. But it was they rejected Jesus Christ. So like I said, saved at the judgment seat of Christ. Lost at the great white throne judgment. The judgment is different in the two cases that we're looking at. Like I said, the great white throne judgment has to do with punishment and penalty. The judgment seat of Christ doesn't have anything to do with punishment. Nothing. There's no pun. It has to do with, I like the word awards instead of rewards. We got rewards in one place, but it's really awards. You know, because rewards to me makes it look like, you know, we're trying to stack up points and all that. But it's awards that we have. And so it has to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with the judgment for sin, but more for works, what we did with what we have, what we know. Romans 14 uses the word himself. We read that. And 2 Corinthians, over in 2 Corinthians, where it says the things done in his body. So it's what we did with our Christian lives. We can't be judged in heaven. When we get into heaven, we can't be judged for things. It has to do with our actions, our attitudes, our disposition, physically, spiritually, inward, outward. In verse 2, 2 Corinthians, and when I read in 2 Corinthians, it said verse 10, I wanted to read, in the preceding verse. Look what it says in verse, I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Back up to verse 9. Wherefore we labor that we, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That's not talking about salvation, of course, but it talks about labor. It mentions this word labor. And so, it's talking about like passion in our prayers, passion in our sacrifices into our service. So passion, prayer, sacrifice, service. And, you know, that's absent in a lot of Christians today. That's an absent thing. And so there's, you know, there really can't be a reward for that or an award for that, you know, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. And so I'm going to look at just some facts about that day, that judgment seat day right there, that'll kind of go along with this. You know, we're seeing, I mean, I don't know, my pastor used to say like this. He'd say, man, whatever we're supposed to get, I want to get it. You know, if there's, we're going to have a crown. You know, there's different crowns. I've heard preaching on crowns. Pastors got a crown. Everybody, laborers, workers, there's a crown, and we're going to get jewels in the crown. Well, what are we going to do with the jewels in the crown? You're going to lay them right at the feet of Jesus. Huh? You're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. We're going to have those crowns lay at his feet. And you know really what the, you know what the really the jewel is really Jesus himself. It's really the jewel. But we're going to get crowns and different kinds of crowns. You know, I've heard preached on, there's a whole study you can do on getting a crown. I'm going to have a pastor's crown. Other people have different kinds of crowns, but some people won't have them. They'll throw their crown down there at the feet of Jesus, be one little jewel rolling around inside that thing, pinging around. My pastor said, man, I want all the crown, all the awards we're supposed to have, you know, want to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant at the end of it all. So just a few points on the facts of this certain day. As I said, verse 10, number one is the certainty of the day. Number one is the certainty of the day. In our text that we started with, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all appear. It tells us that this isn't a possibility. It tells us that this isn't a probability, but this isn't a definite appointment that we have with God. This is believers. We've got this appointment. You do all lost people, they got an appointed day too? Yeah, at the great white throne judgment. They got an appointment there. We got the appointment at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before God, and we will give an account on what we did with Jesus, really, what we did with him, what we did with the talents that he gave to us. We'll give an account of that. It has nothing to do with our salvation. We're already saved. We were saved. It was all taken care of at the cross. And so we see the why. Why is that? Listen, there's a lot of things that are going to be made right. Of course, we know when we get to heaven, everything's going to be made right, and there'll be things. You ever notice there's things in life that happen we don't understand? We don't understand why. There's been things that happen. There's misunderstandings. Certain Christians have suffered because their motives were misjudged or misguided or misunderstood. Their actions were misunderstood, and that'll all be straightened out. People have suffered because of things done by somebody else, even Christians. Sometimes we suffer because of things that are done by somebody else. And then there's people that serve faithfully with no recognition in this life, but they'll have recognition in that life. That'll be something that'll be taken care of that day. So it'll be a day of vindication that'll take place. Everything will get straightened out. We'll understand some things. And then we're going to be judged, according to what I've already read to you in the Bible, we're going to be judged for judging others. We're going to be judged for judging others. In Romans 14:3, when I read that to you just a minute ago, let me get back over there. I got to keep my bookmarkers straight. In 14:10, it says, he says there, why dost thou judge thy brother? All right, it says brother. Who's he talking about? It's Christian people. It's Christian people. Why dost thou, who's he writing to? Writing to the church in Rome. They're believers. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There it is again. It says, as is written, saith the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You're going to give an account for judging people on their motive. It's not talking about, now listen, I tell you real carefully about judging. Listen, if somebody steals, they're a thief. They've done wrong. If you steal, I can say, I'm not judging you, but you've done wrong according to the Word of God. But when you do something and I don't know really what your motive is and I'm thinking that you're doing, but I can't see, this is what it's talking about. God will straighten all that out at the judgment seat. He'll straighten it all out. That's what he's talking about. So we don't know really the motive. Somebody could do something very good. Ananias and Sapphira, spoke about them this morning. They looked like they were given a great sum of money, but boy, their motive was jacked up. They were just trying to get attention. They were trying to get everybody to pat them on the back and say, oh, look, they sold the land. They gave all the money. Isn't that great? And they allowed them to believe they sold, gave all the money. They didn't give all the money. They didn't have to give any of the money, but you can't let somebody believe something that's not true because they wanted that recognition. So pride and the flesh got in the way. Well, guess what? The flesh has to be, you know, there's a judgment for that. Not as far as salvation goes, just for rewards. Are they going to get rewarded for that? Are they going to get rewarded for selling a piece of land and not giving all the money and letting people think that they did that? I'm not saying they were lost. They lost their lifetime on this earth, huh? But are they going to get judged for that? Sure. That would be wood, hay, stubble if there ever was any along the way. But he says there, listen, the judging motives about things, and that's what it always, I heard people all the time this, well, you just can't judge. You know, they could be out there stabbing somebody to death. You tell them they're wrong, and it's, well, you just can't judge. Yeah. The Bible says you shall not murder, right? I don't, the Bible, you're already judged on that. Well, you don't know the motive. Well, I may not know the motive, but it don't matter what the motive is. You can't do that, right? So, I mean, it's not. It's always talking about where we think, hey, you know, I bet you they're doing that for, you know, this and that, and we don't know. You know, we don't know why. And so you get in trouble doing that. And guess what? You're going to be judged for judging that way. That's what's going to happen. The judgment is for a critical spirit. When you get a critical spirit, guess what happens come next? Huh? Old tongue, right? Oh, how many of you? I'm talking about how many of you saved? Said something you shouldn't have said. Huh? Talked in a certain tone that you shouldn't have used. Said something hateful, critical. Are you lost? No. But you gonna get an award for that? Hey, I got the critical spirit award. Hey, that's all right. I got the critical spirit and an unbridled tongue award. How about that? Huh? If they give an awards out there, the stack would be high. We'd have to get a couple of crowns. We wouldn't be able to put all the jewels in the crown, right? I mean, if they give an awards for that, no, you're not going to get awards. You're going to lose awards. You're not going to lose your life. Your salvation, you just lose rewards that you could have had, would have had. You're still going to be in heaven. I mean, but my pastor used to always say this, man, I don't want to get in heaven by the skin of my teeth. I want to get on in there, man. I want to walk on in. I mean, I guess it's better than not being there at all, but I don't want to go that way. That's kind of a bad aim. You know, how about this? This is my goal in life. Man, I just want to be a sorry Christian. I preach at the Bible camp, and we have all, back in the old days, went to Bible camp a long time ago, all the pastors sat over here on this side. And you'd be up here. You're kind of self-conscious when you're preaching with the pastors in there, all the pastors. And I used to say, well, you know what? I pray. I said, God, I want to be a great preacher. And the other page, probably thinking, well, you ain't getting there, brother. You know. Well, I said, and I looked at him. I said, well, what do you pray? I want to be a sorry preacher? Well, guess what? You made it. I mean, why would you ask for that? Huh? Well, I just want to be a sorry preacher. You know, that's all I want to be. No, man. I want to be a great preacher. Or what would you say? Well, I just want to be a sorry church member. I just want to be a sorry Christian. Why would you pray that? No, you don't want to pray. You know, you want to pray, you know, for to be the best that you can be. And that's what God wants us to be. And so, like, in light of the judgment, this is what that verse is really telling us. In light of the judgment that we pass on others, we will be judged. Let me see something. I wrote something down, and I don't know why. You know, you can relate if you get older. But I'll put a mark there. Let me see what this says. Sometimes I write things down, and I don't know why. Oh, yeah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then it goes on about the mote in your brother's eye. Mote and your brother, once again, talking to Christians, right? We got brothers right there. We're going to be judged according to that. Let God judge them on that day. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, if your motives aren't correct, as a Christian, you're going to lose awards for that, rewards for that. Let God take care of it. Don't do it because you don't know. See, God can see all those things right there. So we have the certainty of the day. It's a certain day. We're going to stand up there. Now listen, you're not going to lose your salvation, but I'm going to tell you what. And I read a couple of commentators and said this. You know, we always think, oh boy, when we all get to heaven, what a glory day. But I'm going to tell you what, when you stand before the judgment seat, I think there's going to be some regrets that you didn't do more with what God gave you. Huh? And there's going to be somebody that the Lord's going to say, well done, now good and faithful servant. And then he tells another one, well, I don't know if it's going to be like this. I'm just giving you a rundown. Well done. And you're standing there thinking, oh man, what's he going to say when I get up there? Is that how you want to be? Huh? Be some apprehension, wondering. Oh, you're saved. You're already in. It's a good deal. But I mean, is that really how you want to go? Just barely getting in. Don't have any. Didn't do nothing for Jesus. Don't have any crown, jewels in your crown. Don't have anything like that. Huh? No, that isn't how we want to go in. We want to go in, man. You know, serving the Lord, man. So we got the certainty of the day. We have the universality of this day. It says we must all appear. Every believer, man, every believer. Strong Christian, weak Christian, back pew Christian, front pew Christian. Huh? I mean, you know, everybody, listen, the man that got one talent, remember that parable? And the man that got 10 talents, everybody's going to. What you did with them? Pastors, leaders, teachers, deacons, front, like I said, front pew, back pew, involved, uninvolved. We're going to give account of our stewardship. This is the best way to look at it. This would be a good way to set it up for you. On the great, on the judgment seat of Christ, every believer will give account of his stewardship, what he did with what God has given him. Now, what has God given you? Well, Holy Spirit, right? He's given you the Word. We're entrusted with the Word. We're stewards of the Word. I mean, crying out loud, the government's not going to tell anybody nothing about it. School's not going to do it. Christians, it's up to us, not just the pastor. It's all Christians, man. So we're entrusted with that. What'd you do with it? Is you give an account of your stewardship. It's just the, you know, the stewards, that great parable in the Bible about what'd you do? What'd you do while I was gone away? What have you done with that? So every believer will give an account of his stewardship with what he knew, what he did with that, what he did with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit empowering him. I have to give an account of that. And there'll be awards given accordingly. And what we did with Christ. There's no exemptions there. There's no exemptions. We're all going to have to, you know, answer for that. And if we did all we could do, the best we could do, or tried with what we know, you know, God takes a note. He takes a note. The third thing, we have the authority of this day. It's the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. That judge, he'll make no mistake. It won't be like, oops, man, I meant to give that. Oh, I was going to give you this, and I didn't give you that. I overlooked something. Nope. He knows the heart. He's not going to make a mistake. There's no accidents. Nobody's accidentally going to be awarded or rewarded for something they shouldn't have. He will impute no wrong where it's not or doesn't belong. Give no credit where it doesn't belong, even if it seems right. It's like I said, we can do a right thing, but the motive be wrong. See, what is that? Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble? It's wood, hay, stubble. He searches our motives. He searches our actions. There's no appeal. Not based on appearances, how things look, but upon the infinite knowledge of Christ. That's... He just knows, you know, he's going to know. And we probably know, too, if we really think about it. We also see the fourth thing, the individuality of the day. It said everyone. We must all, every single one. And it's going to be an individual thing. You're not going to have mom holding your hand. You're not going to be with all the church, other church believers, being a big crowd where you can blend in. You're going to stand there before the Lord, you and him. It's going to be an individual thing. Wife and husband, going to be sorry, honey. You got to go on. You ain't going to be able to hold me. You ain't going to be able to hold my hand either. Won't be able to do that. We're going to give account of ourselves before God. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's, you know, all the problems that we know. You know why I don't do this, preacher? I say, yeah, you know, because you don't want to. You know why I do that? Yeah, because you want to. I mean, that's what's in your heart. That's it. So what you think in your heart, that's what comes out in your life, and that's what it is. Now, Psalm 90, verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. David wrote that. Would you call David, if we were in the New Testament times, would we say David was a saved man? Yeah. He ain't getting no awards for messing around with Bathsheba, though. Huh? No, he ain't getting that. He ain't getting awards for certain things that went on in his life, but he was still what we call a saved man. God said he's a man after my own heart. Huh? Man alive. The issue of that day will not be the amount of works done. It won't be how much you did. It's going to be the quality. The quality. What you did, why, and why you did it. What kind of person we have been as a believer. That's what's really going to be, you know. And I mean, is there anybody going to be there, get every single reward? I don't even know how that is. I don't even know what it is. If it's stacked up, we going to get every reward? Probably no. Because we all going to have a little wood, hay, stubble. Maybe even a lot of wood, hay, stubble. Amen? I mean, it may be. So we see also the fifth thing is the impartiality of the day. Everyone. It's every Christian, once again, every, I guess they would all go together in a way, the points somewhat, but the impartiality. Our eternal destiny was settled. Listen, when we trusted Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. When I trusted Jesus, it's settled. Huh? When you're saved, it's settled. I have eternal life today. I'm not waiting to get eternal life when I get to heaven. That ain't going to be my reward. I got my reward right now. I'm going to be going to heaven, and I'm saved, and that's it. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing's going to change that. I may get to be such a sorry testimony for God down here, he may have to kill me and take me out of here early. But I'll still be a child of God. I'm a child of God. That's settled. It was settled long. We even sing it. Down on our knees, I settled it long ago, right? What's the name of that song? Down on my knees, I settled it. The old account was settled. There you go. The old account was settled. The old account was settled long ago. So our eternal destiny was settled when we trusted Jesus Christ. And his work on the cross, we experience the new birth. But every man's works, it said. Every man, let me put it this way. It could read, every Christian person's works shall be tried. It says, every Christian work shall be tried. And the good, the things done in the Spirit. Go back over here, let me get my other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. So everybody's going to know. We're going to know what every work, it's all going to be brought out. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And then it goes on. It said, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation up there, if any man build upon this foundation, and back up before that, let's see. If you go all the way back to verse 9. We are laborers together. We who? Christians. We are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Body of Christ, church. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Okay? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, we've got, and it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be tried. And then it goes, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man, Christian man's, work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. What's he losing? His rewards. His rewards, because he didn't build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, wood or gold, silver, precious stones, which is what? Everything that we do in the Spirit. Everything that we do at the direction of God. If we're serving God in the Spirit and not the flesh, that's gold, silver, precious stone. That's going to survive the test of fire. we build on there in the flesh, what we do in the energy of the flesh, what we do in our own wisdom, in our own strength, in our own, whatever we've worked up, drummed up, if we build upon that foundation then, that way, even though the work may look good, wood, hay, stubble, it's going to burn. In other words, it's just not going to exist. There's no works. If that's all you got, if all you did and everything in the energy of flesh, there's nothing there as far as rewards. In heaven, yeah. He said, he shall be saved. That's what it said, right? If any man work abide which he have built therein, he shall receive reward. Any man's work shall be burned. He's going to suffer loss of rewards, but he himself shall be saved because he's already saved. He's already saved. You're already a saved man. You wouldn't be standing there at that seat if it is. And so we see that wrong motive, anything done in the flesh. The verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Look what it says. Look out, and I'll read this real careful with me. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try it. Every man's work of what, look at that word right there, what sort it is. What kind of, you know, sort, the quality. What kind of work was it? What sort is it? Spirit, flesh. You know, that's it. The quality of what we have done. So on that day, summing up on that day, every Christian life from the moment of salvation till death or rapture will be brought before God. And much of our judgment's going to be based on how we judged others. And then when you study all this out the whole way, where we were merciful, Christ will be merciful. Where we were severe, Christ will be severe. Where there was no forgiveness, where there was forgiveness, Christ will forgive. Everything done in the Spirit will merit a well done. And everything in the flesh, just going, it's nothing. You know, that way, look, Lord, boy, look at all these wonderful works. Man, he tries it by fire. You didn't do nothing, man. Nothing. Because really, we can't do it, right? What do we say all the time? It's the Christ life, right? We can't do it. It's what God does through us. What we allow God to do through us. That's going to be, isn't that going to be gold, silver, precious stone? What is in us? No good thing, right? There's none good. No, not one. What do we have within us? Good. So what are we going to do for God? Nothing, right? I mean, what is it? You know, oh, I'm going to give God my life. What's he want with it? It's nothing. No, it's what God does through us. Huh? And where everything that God does through us is gold, silver, precious stones. You can bet on that. Amen. Everything that he does through us and everything that we do apart from him, it's going to be wood, hay, stubble, because God didn't do it. We did it, and what's in us? No good thing. See how the deal works? It's no good thing in us. That's it. And so, that's what, you know, that is about. And like, and then, like, now you can sit there and you're all thinking, y'all real quiet, because I know what you're thinking. Wow. I could say this. I'll say it. You probably could say it. Or you can, amen. There's so much of my life that was carnal, selfish, self-centered, unchrist-like, and just plain old sin. Don't mount up for nothing. So you think, well, man, that's me, right? But we got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What can we do about it? What can we do about that? All right, this is good. I got a star by this. You know what that means? It's good. I got a star by 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Huh? That's what it says. You can go look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I didn't turn to it, but I wrote it down. Just trying to save time, but hey, what's the rush, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. There it is. He talks about a man examining himself. This is before the communion. Who does communion? Saved people. Let a man examine himself and so eat of that bread, for if he eat and drink unworthily, eat and drink a damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, many Christians, many are sickly among you, and many sleep dead. And then it says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So what do we do? Listen, we come into the presence of God, and we say, God, I'm guilty. I'm talking about as a Christian. I've judged other people. I've done things that are sinful. I've had a bad attitude. I've been critical. This, that, the other thing. I've done things contrary to the Word of God. I've done things contrary to your purpose for me. I've done all, you confess that. You know, right? We judge our own self. Lord, I've been judgeful. I've been judgmental. I judge myself. I say, Lord, I've been judgmental. You judge yourself. And what did he say? You shall not be judged. Huh? Won't be judged. Won't be, huh? That'll be it. It'll all be taken care of. And then we can be cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. We're talking about that on Wednesday night. Be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Man, we're cleansed. And the fear of that day will be taken away. And it's not fearful that we're thinking we're going to lose our salvation. But, I think it can be an embarrassing day. I think it can be a sorrowful day. I think we could be regretting things and wishing. I mean, even in this life now, don't you wish sometimes you had done more for Christ? Don't you wish you was doing more for Christ? And when we get to the end of our life and we're standing there before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and we're thinking, man, I wish I had done more for the Lord, we think about that. I think we'll be thinking about it then. If you're thinking about it now, you'll be thinking about it then, right? Thinking about that. And so that's what we can do, man. We just get there and we just say, Lord, judge yourself now. And really, the Bible as a whole, if you take it as a whole, as we go through life. The great illustration about what the feet getting their feet washed. That the great story probably already, they had public baths in those days and you'd have to trot down to the bathhouse. Everybody didn't have a shower like we have. And you'd take a bath, and then they wore sandals, and then they walked on dusty roads. And you'd walk back, you were all clean and everything. But when you got home or you got to a friend's house, you got dust on, the dust got on your feet. So you were clean, and it's a picture of salvation. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, we're saved. But yet, going through this world, we get pollution on us, we get this the world on us, and we got to wash those feet off. And we got to get washed that way. What we do, we get cleansed, man. We get clean before God. Say, God, you're right. We don't make excuses for ourselves. We don't give God all these reasons why. We just say, God, this is what, I'm sorry. I've done that. And, help me. help me with this and that and the other thing, whatever it is. And, buddy, that judge yourself, see, and we won't have to be judged for those things. That'll turn that wood, hay, stubble into gold, silver, precious stones. I believe that with all my heart. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray encourage us, Lord. Encourage us as we think about serving you, Lord, knowing that we'll give account of our lives. You've left us down here on this earth, Lord, and you didn't take us home when you saved us, and you left us down here for a purpose. And I think we're going to have to answer for it to you. For how what we've done with that time, we're stewards of time. You've given us that, and you've given us your word, and you've given us your Holy Spirit, Lord. And so there, Lord, we've left to stand here for that. So we'll give account of our time, how we spent that, and so help us to realize that. I pray it'll be an encouragement, not a discouragement to us. I ask it in Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn 66, At Calvary, hymn 66.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me. Guilty soul in
Amen. All right. Well,